All right, welcome to episode 7 of the Rated NA podcast.
Lucky 7, right?
Lucky 7, we're all going to get laid.
What?
There's no ladies here, though, so
tonight. I see a fine feline in front of me.
What an awkward situation.
Yes.
But yeah, so it's been a week again.
It has. Busy week. What about you guys? Saw you guys a lot this week, actually.
Yeah, we hung out. We did some review content.
We did. We played some games, hung out.
And I think that time that we spent hanging out was the only time where the heat worked in my house.
Yeah.
All week.
Yes. We complain, but we are in probably one of the warmest places in the U.S. right now.
Yeah.
It's still
cold.
Well,
it's supposed to get down to 20 on Monday.
Still
really?
Yeah.
Man, it's going to ice up
in the
20s.
Surprise news.
Uh-oh.
This could possibly be the last time we do a podcast in this house.
Explain.
We're hoping, you know, I can't go into everything, obviously, but we're hoping that we're supposed to close on Monday, but it looks like that's going to get extended, but that we have a house now that we've gotten.
Oh!
Yeah, we got that house.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
You're waiting to tell.
We're waiting to know that we can move out so that we can head into the other one and then
set
up a room. And then when that happens, the bigger thing is that we are actually all going to work on building out, like, a podcast area.
Yes.
Cool. So that we have, like, a permanent background.
I'll get you some standees. I got a Crackdown 2 standee we can use.
No more card table.
Yeah,
and,
I got some
blue wall behind us.
May have some Mass Effect posters to donate.
From FYE or something, man. That's my bad.
So we'll have to hang it up. I'm sure between the three of us we can hang enough nerd paraphernalia around us.
Yeah, well, that's
very... Or we'll green screen it, just make it up.
Man.
Just digital it.
We can fly
amazing.
Through space every week.
We could.
Can we just have that Normandy behind us at all times?
Haley's his laser background.
What's up, Haley?
We will make this
happen. Ask Haley. Haley, can she hear us as well as speak to us?
Yeah, she can hear us.
This is phenomenal and the future. Haley,
if she couldn't hear us, how would she have known to write laser background? Am I, like, transcribing the whole thing in here?
This is like, it's beyond my realm of understanding. But did Haley listen to herself yet?
Oh, I don't know. She said something about not liking her own voice. The sound of her own voice.
Haley, I think you sounded awesome. Like, I'm not saying like, hey, let's fuck. I'm saying like, I think you did a really good job.
I did not as bad as I
thought. Yeah, it's surprising. It's surprising. So good. So we have a lot to talk about this week.
We do. So
other than the good news,
we're actually going to jump right into it because we have way too much to talk about tonight.
So yes, we really do.
We're going to go ahead and move and. First thing up will be some news, and we will be right back for that.
All right.
That was great.
That's good.
That was good.
Yeah. Good times.
A little bassy.
All right. So first up in the news, there has been an explosion, if you will, of news about Google. Google held a press conference this week. And released just a sploot, as Scott would call it, of new products.
Really?
A veritable cornucopia.
Which would include an ebook store, so a new virtual bookstore, a new operating system based on the browser called Chrome.
Okay.
Which, you know, Shock called the Chrome browser that it's based on. Which I've actually seen a bunch of demos for, so I can talk a little further about it.
And there's a computer for that too, right?
Yeah. The Google Nexus S, which is the next Android phone officially sanctioned by Google. They also announced an app store for your Chrome browser as it stands now, which is the beginning of... They talked a while ago when they released Google TV about this idea of total synchronization. And essentially what they're starting to talk about is the fact that you will have apps that you can use across the Chrome OS, the Chrome browser, the Android phone, and Google TV that all seamlessly move from one to the other and know what you're doing in between them and all that kind of thing.
Super cool.
And then they also did not release, but coyly had a tablet, like an iPad, with the version 3 Android on it in front of them at the conference. And they didn't talk about it, they didn't show it, but that's what they were holding on to and playing with. Was this, they were like, hey, here's the new version 3, and it was like on this tablet device that no one's seen before.
Interesting.
Which is actually how they introduced the Google phone, too. They had them at a press conference and were using them and didn't say anything about them, and then like a month later, they're like, oh, hey, we're selling a new phone sanctioned by us. It's the Google Nexus. one.
Excellent marketing strategy.
So, so yeah, I'm stoked because I live in Google. We're actually using Google Docs to track what we write and stuff on this show. But awesome. I mean, I have like 4 Gmail accounts. All of my different accounts for like my freelancing and for Nerd Appropriate all go through Google Apps. I've actually toyed around with the in-browser app store already. It's weird because, like, here, I can show you guys. So, and maybe I'll throw a screenshot or something up. But basically, you load it up, and then you have just, like, a tile board of apps, like you would on your phone or anything else. And then, like, I'll open up the NPR one. And it just loads up an in-browser app. So NPR is probably not the best example because it's kind of not much different than if you just went to NPR.com.
Yeah.
And that's what people are kind of saying is like, well, what's the difference?
Yeah.
You know, why not just go to the website?
Mm-hmm. I tried the Amazon Window Shop application.
Yeah, how'd you like that?
All it really does is it throws up maybe about 25 images of products that you can look at. It is what the name implies. It's window shopping.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of look at it and go, well, I'll just go to the Amazon website.
I mean, I think it's going to suffer from what every new technology kind of suffers from, which is lack of initial development. There are some cool apps out there. Lifehacker ran through like the top 10. There's one called Aviary, which is a photo editor, and it's pretty mind-blowing. Like, it's in-browser Photoshop, essentially.
Cool.
But you can still go to the website for that, too, can't you?
You can still go to the website, but the idea is kind of like, you know, you open it up, everything's in one place. And then the other idea is that this will then cross over so that, you know, the content you're getting here through NPR, you can go continue on your phone, you can pull it up on your TV. Like, it's just going to span across all your devices now instead of, like, this weirdly varied content.
I like the idea.
And did the UI for the store remind you of anything when you looked at it?
For the Chrome App Store?
For the App Store itself.
Let's look and see. Let's get Ash's fresh perspective.
What does this look like to you?
Looks kind of like the App Store.
It looks like iTunes.
Yeah.
It looks exactly like iTunes.
I think that's something Google kind of suffers from. They do this like copycat of, like, they did it with Android too. They do some like, oh, we're going to pull
off iPhone
stuff.
Chrome is very sleek, very like streamlined, but you know, I was a huge Firefox guy, and then I started having stability issues. I've been using Chrome for like probably about 6 months, and I love Chrome now.
Well, Chrome's been my browser for pretty permanently. Yeah.
My only problem with Chrome is there a fucking home button anywhere?
I think there is.
Yeah, it's right
is
there.
It really? Where is it?
So this button right here. Okay, we're gonna go to Tech
not
Talk. Yeah. Tech Talk Live.
That's not
wow.
what I
was. This is this button here will like change out as you're doing things. So like it'll be like the stop button, the refresh button, your home button. Like it'll think the buttons kind of move around.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
they're always right there. Yeah.
Yeah. We have more people in there.
It looks like there's
six
viewers.
I did notice
crazy.
I did notice that the apps don't yet synchronize across your browsers yet.
No, they do not. And you can't buy an app and have it show up on your phone, which was their new thing that they were going to push apps to.
Well, if you buy an app on one computer, can you still get it on the other, on a second computer?
I haven't tried. I don't know. I haven't gotten too much in.
I haven't seen anything worth buying yet, so I haven't bought anything.
So the other thing they announced was this Chrome OS, which is the new operating system based on the browser. And it's kind of crazy. I watched it as like a 5-minute demo that Engadget had today. And it's, first of all, they have a set of laptops. So if anybody is interested in trying to become a beta tester for these laptops,
wow,
you go to google.com/ChromeOS, I believe. And
on it,
you can sign up. You can sign up. I think it's Chrome or Chrome Laptop. I think that's what it is. Google.com/Chrome Laptop.
Yeah.
And you can sign up to be a beta tester. And if you get in, they're doing only like, I think, 100 for the whole country or something.
I'll sign
if
up
you
with
get
my
in,
Android phone.
If you get in, they'll send you out a laptop and you get to test it. But you have to pretty much say like, yes, this is going to be my main machine. And yes, I'm going to give you all my feedback and stuff. But
cool. The
thing is fucking crazy because it is like instant on. They said if it's completely turned off, it's 15 seconds from the button to push to it being on.
Wow.
It's only a browser, and it's got this app store pretty much runs everything. So that's kind of what their real vision is that you start seeing this become your app place to buy different things, to be able to do different stuff inside of this computer.
Interesting.
And it's all cloud. Like the cloud is what they call it, which means everything's networked up into drives, you know, that exist all over the country, and you get access to your data, all that, and you know they've shown off Google Docs and some other apps that have like offline capabilities, so that you can, you know, edit docs whenever you're not online, and then all that.
Some people have already gotten their laptops.
Yeah, they've already started sending them out. I signed up like 3 days ago. So, I mean, hopefully, if I
interesting
get it,
stuff.
Awesome.
I mean, technology is definitely, you know, I think the next couple of years we're going to see some insane advancements.
We're on Derek's big screen TV.
Oh, man. That is terrifying. I should really put my anus up to that camera. Just
yeah, Stephanie's here. Travis wants to know why you guys are using that mic. It's cheap and sounds good.
Just like his mom. What?
Hey.
Hey.
And also why Scott and Ash are wearing hats.
Because we're old and going bald.
Why are you not?
So yeah, I mean, that's the Google stuff, pretty much. It's a pretty good announcement. So the new Google phone is out, I think, in a week.
It's awesome.
And it looks
yeah,
slick.
I'll definitely. I want to check out all this stuff.
Is that T-Mobile?
I'm actually looking for another
yeah.
another PC. This is totally off topic, but I'm looking for another PC for the home.
Yeah.
I don't know what yet. I don't know what brand I want to go with. I don't want to build it myself anymore.
You have like a function. What's the primary function?
I want it to be all purpose. I want it to be able to run StarCraft if I want to. I want to be able to run, you know, Old Republic when it comes out.
Sounds like a desktop.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get
you
a desktop, but I don't...
Laptop too. Laptop too, if you wanted to.
I don't know. I don't know if I want a laptop, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So next up.
All right, so the next big bit of news for people that still have G4 TV, there was a bit of a shakeup, and for a while, we're going to talk about the new Attack of the Show host. A lot of people don't watch the show, but I've been watching the show for years and years and years now. A little bit of background. I started watching it probably, I want to say, I don't know. Well, I started watching Tech TV ages ago and kind of fell into AOTS probably about 3 years ago. I started watching it heavily. And now I force my wife to watch it every night before bed. And she probably really hates it, but just tolerates
Melissa
it.
Melissa visibly hates it. Like,
visibly
won't watch
hates
the
it?
Show. She
really?
She's like, wah, wah,
wah. Yeah, yeah. Well, Christina tolerates it. She likes it. She laughs. I mean, you know. And for those that don't watch Attack of the Show, it's a show on G4 TV. It's on at 7 o'clock. It's live. It's an hour-long show. It's on tech. They do game reviews. They do movie reviews. They do top five things that happened on the web that day. So, like, silly videos of people hurting themselves and things like that. And they have interviews with all sorts of people in the industry from, you know, the devs of World of Warcraft to, like, James Cameron and actors and things like that. So... that's why I love it. It's just kind of like my little hour of nerdiness I get to do before I go to bed. Well, Olivia Munn was the host of that show for a while, the co-host of the show with Kevin Pereira. Olivia Munn dipped from the show and went on to do quote-unquote bigger and better things, and she is now working on The Daily Show, and she's working on a show called Perfect Couples on NBC, which airs, I think, at the beginning of January.
Yep.
And so for the past, I want to say, I don't know, 6 months, it's probably the wrong amount of time, but it feels like about 6 months. It was definitely from, let's see, Comic-Con was what, July?
July.
August, September, October. So yeah, about 5-6 months.
Yeah.
They're all your BFFs through Comic-Con as well, right?
Well, I wouldn't say BFFs, but yeah. I have tickled them personally.
Oh, okay.
As I like to say.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I have tickled them personally. So... She left, and she went on to do all this other stuff, and so they've been looking frantically
including The Daily Show.
Yes,
yep.
Including The Daily Show. So they've been looking for a new co-host, and so they've been going through a variety of young females to kind of fill this spot, and I've actually kind of liked the rotating, like, who's going to be on tonight kind
like
of thing.
Like Playboy model?
Well, yeah, because I get
no,
to...
exactly not like her at all.
Yeah, she has a pretty shrill voice.
Yeah.
And instantly when I watch her with my wife looks at me like I'm masturbating under the covers.
You're immediately like, for some reason,
yeah.
completely into her, even though I could give two shits about
yeah,
her.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, why are you watching this with her? And I'm like, I didn't hire her.
Did you watch the episode she was on one day where she had the shirt that was like, it was like a tank top, you know?
Scott takes photo file pictures
yeah.
of everyone.
One strap was like all the way down here, and Jen got so angry, we were like, we can't watch this anymore, because the shirt was just like here and
really?
Shirt, tube top underneath it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now there's Kerry Keegan. Whoa!
That was a totally... I did that on accident. I had like a strange, like... I think I had a mild seizure. No, I don't really... Okay, here's the deal. I don't really have a thing for Kerry Keegan, but as soon as you said that, my brain... I thought of her in the Power Girl costume.
Power Girl and then the vacuum.
For those that don't know, Kerry Keegan, She is like a
top heavy, as you put it before.
Did I say that before?
Well, that's not about her, but
it's gonna make me a lot of friends using that term often. Yes, she is rather top heavy, and she was one of the people that was in the running for the position. But the big shakeup was that Allison Hayslip, who was always kind of, you know,
she was on the B team.
Yeah, she called herself the B team. Her and Hardwick were the B team.
Yeah.
When Kevin and Olivia had the day off, Hardwick and Hayslip would take over, and they would run the show, and they did a great job of it. So everyone kind of just assumed that Hayslip would get the job. Well, it turns out it wasn't Hayslip.
No. And Nerd Rage erupted.
Nerd Rage did erupt.
I went on a couple days after they made the announcement. I went on G4 to go check out, because they put a post up like, "Meet Candace, our new host."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "I wonder if they're moderating the comments." And I went and looked, and they are not moderating the comments.
No.
It is like foul hatred for Candace Bailey. Like, and they probably are getting rid of like the really rude ones.
Yeah.
But like, there were, it was like post after post after post that was just like,
"Ooh, I can't believe you did that. Oh,
like, fuck this girl. Why isn't it Allison Hayslip? You know, I don't like Candace Bailey, and she sucks, and blah, blah, blah." And, like, a few people were, like, relatively positive, but no one was, like, overwhelmingly positive. And there was a lot of
comments. There's got to be more to it, like, behind the scenes. Like, something tells me that, like, it was almost like a pure, like, marketing decision. Like, who's going to bring them the most viewers in the long run?
The girl that used to be on Nickelodeon. That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's her resume. I think she's, I have a feeling, and this sounds,
she's done other stuff, too.
This sounds totally, like, nerd ragey, and I don't really care. I barely watch the show anymore. I watch it, like, the clips they put up online, and that's it.
Well, because they took it away from you.
Yeah, they literally stopped letting me watch it, so I just was like, whatever.
Thanks, DirecTV.
Yeah.
But, I have a feeling that she is an Olivia Munn type of this, like, she's kind of into the nerd culture, but she really just wants to be on TV. Like, it's really ultimately is like, I want to be a TV star, not so much that I want to be on G4 being a nerd.
Yeah. Well,
that's unfortunate, I think.
I don't really know
her. We'll see.
I don't really know her resume, so to speak. I mean, I know Hayslip does game a lot. Like, I follow her Twitter feed, and she plays all the time, and she's totally one of us. I was a little, I don't want to say I was bummed. I mean, I think I'm happier with Candace Bailey than I am with a lot of the other people.
Candace Bailey wasn't bad. I saw her on like 3 or 4 shows, and she was always fine. She seems really young, honestly.
She does seem very young. So maybe that's what they're hoping, that she'll be around for a while. They don't want to get somebody that's like, you know.
Maybe they see Hayslip as too much of a commodity in the other shows that they've kind of got her in. And
she's running. She still does Ninja Warrior. And, like, you know, I was talking...
She does, like, all of their segments. Like, she does everything that's, like, off-site.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was talking with somebody about this the other day, and I was like, you know, she has, in my opinion, I don't know how much money she makes or how much that of a factor that is for her, but she has the better job. She gets to interview everybody.
Maybe she wanted to do the field work.
I don't think so. Her reaction seems pretty...
Did she say something in
She said some, like...
She's very vocal.
Loud about... But she hasn't been, like, very specific about anything. It's been very, like, this sucks. It wasn't what I wanted, you know, but we'll see what happens. Yeah. And thanks for all the wishes and everything.
Let's see what the audience is saying.
It's Hayslip, Kevin, and Derek likes Hardwick, too. But we always knew that.
Micah says, I didn't see the links. Micah's playing Ultima online.
Don't tell Ash.
This is a dirty, disgusting drug habit that you must you must finally get rid of this horrible, horrible... He sent me screenshots today of... First of all right, this is totally off topic. But I used to play Ultima with this gentleman who's being recorded right now. And we played all the time, and this was probably about 15 years ago. And the son of a bitch never deactivated his account and periodically gets in there. And today he sends me screenshots. Check out these new pirate ships. And they're like not even 8-bit graphics. It's like 5-bit graphics. Like, check out this. I'm like, really? This is what we were excited about? So I love you for still playing that. It's pretty remarkable. Says, I do like the new host, though. Oh, Micah likes Candace. Good. I think Micah just likes skinny ladies. That's why
he
likes Candace.
I think the only people that I liked more than her were the people that could not permanently hold the position.
Like Morgan?
Like Morgan Webb. Or, you know, Allison Brie co-hosted once, and that was amazing.
Oh, yeah. That was phenomenal. Alessandra
Torresani.
We almost made it an episode without talking about it.
I'm sorry. Oh, Allison Brie!
She's in Claymation in about a few minutes.
Torresani hosted twice.
Uh-huh.
That was really good, I thought.
You would.
She was good, yeah.
Yeah. Caprica.
Yeah. Caprica.
Yeah, so...
It's code for her vagina.
Yeah, and if it can't be Hayslip, I guess that's the
next. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I mean, a part of me, I really hope the show does well. I know Mun leaving probably did a big ratings shakeup, because lover or hater, she did bring in a lot of viewers for the channel.
Hey, here's an idea. Put your show on the web, too, by the way, P.S.
Yeah, Attack of the Show?
Yeah, you can't... You can only watch it on cable.
Yeah, I don't like that they don't do that.
No one has access to the channel,
that is strictly
so.
A money thing.
Yeah.
It's strictly a money thing, so... Hopefully we eventually get Attack of the Show in some sort of streaming format other than clips.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, sorry, I was trying to get... We can't post links. I was going to shoot up links as we're talking about things, but they're filtering them
is
out.
Is G4 in HD yet? Yes, it is. It's in HD.
Yeah, it is in HD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Scott.
Let's talk about Dead Space.
All right, Dead Space.
New demo for Dead Space 2 comes out December 21st. And there's actually, I wrote a post about it today for the website, but there's tons of material for the Dead Space universe if you want to get stoked about the second game coming out.
Awesome. I'm very intrigued, and I'll briefly tell my story with Dead Space. I borrowed it from a friend. I got really far. I got to a spot that I could not beat.
Even when you drop the little markers on the ground to know where you're supposed to go?
I knew where I was supposed to go, but, like, I hit some fucking switch and 8 billion things come out.
Oh, yeah.
And
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is it on the rafters? The part of the game where you're on the rafters and you have to run around?
Yeah. So I tried it 10 times, and finally I was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. And I put it down and never picked it back up.
Can I tell you the secret of Dead Space?
Yes.
The secret of Dead Space is this. You know, like I wrote in the post, that game was sort of the not successor to System Shock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the secret to that game is the same as the one for this game, because that was the strategy I went with when I started. All you do is you take the weapon you start the game with, and you only use that weapon.
Really?
Throughout the whole game. And you level that weapon up. Any other ammo you get, you sell it.
You just made Ash never want to play this game again.
Any other guns you get, you sell it. No, I'm serious. It totally works.
I like variety. I like... Flamethrowers and buzzsaws.
On your second playthrough, use the other weapons on your first one.
Yeah.
Just use the plasma cutter.
My story with Dead Space is that I chose to play it on the most stressful night of my entire life, I'm pretty sure, which was the night before I was going to get married. I had like a very large web project, pretty much the largest web project I've ever gotten / worked on. Do that the same time that I was supposed to be getting married, and I literally played it the day before I was going to get married, and I played about 45 minutes of it, thought I was going to have a heart attack, or no longer than that, probably a couple hours of it, thought I was going to have a heart attack, turned the game off, gave it back to Scott, and literally never played it again.
Yeah,
there was like, I just remember the last thing that happened to me, and I've said this to you like a million times, I'm like running through the hallway, and then I'm like standing... I just came through a doorway, and then I hear behind me, like, chains rattling,
mm-hmm.
and I see a shadow fly past me. Like, something moves behind me, but I see the shadow, like, move in front of me, and I, like, turn around and run out in the hallway to shoot it, and there's nothing fucking there.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the point of the game, really. The point of the game is to make you, like, hold your breath and clench your butthole for as long as possible and just, like...
Yeah.
And really, that's the problem, because you can only really play the game in like...
But I don't need a game that makes me feel like I'm in prison.
Yeah.
So what are your feelings on them putting out a demo for 2? Because I know you posted about that, so how do you feel...
Because you're like, you're not huge on previews, right?
Well, you know what? I did play the demo for the original one when it came out, and I had no idea what the hell was going on anyways.
Yeah.
So when I played the demo, I kind of said... I'm never gonna get this game, and then eventually I picked it up anyways. Yeah. They kind of put you in a spot in the game where if you don't already know the control scheme, you're not gonna be able to get by it.
Right.
So. See, I don't like demos anymore. And what I used to love playing the game a little bit early, trying out a level or two, and then when Dead Rising came out with was like $1 or something like that, and it was there. It was their demo.
Yeah,
but
like
it was
a mini game for
Dead
Rising.
And that
2.
Was, you know, even though I had Dead Rising 2 sitting on the table for like 2 months now, and I have not touched it, I loved that little bit of the game because it was teaches you how to play, does all the crap that a demo does, but it was its own piece of story that existed outside of the main story. I'd much rather pay $1 or $2 for like a little bit of content that exists alongside the game.
Well, but I mean, then there's also things like, you know, we all played Force Unleashed 1's demo and thought that was going to be the most amazing game ever. We were like, this is the most fun thing I've ever done. And then it felt like, totally flat and like never paid off because that 5 minutes of fun that we had, they literally just took that and stretched it into 7 hours of gameplay. They were like, they're like, well, hopefully if you like 5 minutes of that, you'll like that 120 times.
Well, here's what I'll say about the Dead Space 2 demo. The thing that you're looking for, they have that, sort of.
Extraction.
Yeah, well, no, they have... it's all in the post, but if you pre-order... And actually, you don't have to pre-order, but if you pre-order Dead Space 2, you get a code for like an interactive comic book-style game. I think that has mini-games built into it. That sort of bridges the gap between Dead Space 1 and 2. So if you don't want to get the demo, you can check out this other content. There's also Dead Space Extraction, which was a Wii game that used the Zapper, and it was amazing.
Really?
Yeah. It's probably hands down the best Wii Zapper game, you know, for the Wii, maybe aside from House of the Dead Overkill.
See, I would love, like, did you ever play the Resident Evil ones?
Ignition is the word you're thinking.
Ignition is the
Xbox Live.
The Xbox Live title.
Really?
I haven't played that. I haven't played that Resident Evil though. I heard that was amazing too. For the
I hear they're really good. Especially like I'm in desperate need of new Resident Evil, so I've been kind of wanting to go back and play those. But it's never been enough to make me go out and buy a Wii.
No, we'll play it. I'll pick it up.
So maybe we'll have a night and we dress in our underwear and
we can all play with Scott's Wii.
We can play grab each other's zappers, so to speak.
It's just my Wii is just collecting dust right now.
Dongle your zapper.
Yeah, we'll dust off.
When you get married, it ain't gonna get any better.
We'll dust off my Wii. Start waggling the things around. So,
all right. So the last bit of news tonight is George Lucas, creator of Star Wars.
Who
is Scott this? Would make love to his beard if he could.
Passionately.
I never thought of it. You kind of go for the George Lucas.
Maybe if I got a little gray.
Yeah.
Do they make a Just for Men gray color?
George Lucas? Lucas Just for Men?
Yeah. You definitely need more of a goiter to get
Yeah, you do. You need the gobbler down here. He's got a lot of that.
I don't know if I can get that poof on top. You know?
You need a bloated waddle, as they say in the biz.
George Lucas has been buying the rights of dead actors and actresses, apparently for years. His assistant just outed this. And from what anyone can tell, it's in some kind of plan to use them eventually.
Even though he says...
Digitally.
He says he's not going to.
Well, see, here's what I think. I don't think he's going to use them in his own properties. I think he's going to sell them to commercials and movies and other things. He's going to be like, look, like I made Gene Kelly, and he can go sing, Singing in the Rain about, your umbrella company. You can use it for ads.
Do you know who he bought?
I will look while we're talking.
You just turn right around and sell it right back to Disney World. Here you go.
It's pretty weird. It sounds weird just buying the rights to dead people.
Yeah, it sounds very strange. Hopefully it's like the midget from Fantasy Island.
Yeah, but at the same time, people's families, estates are selling those likenesses to George Lucas.
Yeah, yeah.
Because how can it really hurt them?
I'm saying it's weird on both.
It's not like he's going to make like a porn out of them. Like all of a sudden there's a midget from Fantasy Island porn created by George Lucas. You know what I mean?
He's buying them, but the families are selling them. So,
that's true.
You know, it goes both ways.
I'm not seeing anything with my initial Google search, so I'm not sure exactly.
With a list? Oh, we'll find the list.
We'll find a list. Maybe we'll post it up online. But I just think it's weird. You know, people like Haley actually brought it up in our Orson Welles and Barbara Stanwyck.
Crazy Orson Welles. That's wild.
That's crazy.
Wasn't he the voice of Unicron in the Transformers movie?
Orson Welles, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. But she brought it up because we were talking about the Joker and Heath Ledger being in the new movie, which I look more as, like we've talked about, as story elements. This seems more like money. I feel like he can make a ton of money off this.
Because he needs a ton of money,
These guys always need more money, man.
But it depends on, it depends on your opinion on that whole thing. I I just think it's kind of in poor taste, and unless it's like archival footage that they kind of like dig out, because this is what they kind of had to do with the Doctor. What was the movie that he was just in? Haley, you'll know. Hey, Haley, what was the movie that Heath Ledger was just in where all the other actors played his role?
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Whoa. In tandem.
It's on Netflix, right?
We have Netflix,
Yeah, Dr. Parnassus. I don't know how I felt about that whole situation. I mean, I understand Terry Gilliam, like, he has the worst luck of any human being on the planet. So, like, please let the man finish his films. But I don't know how I feel about, like, hey, we'll just split the role up between other actors. And I don't know. It's just weird.
It's weird. But, I mean, I guess, you know, the master plan will be revealed eventually.
Yeah.
I heard that he was just planning to redo some more shit in... God, I hate giving half news, and that's what I'm doing right now.
He's going to add CG.
Indiana Jones, he's adding more CG to it or something like that.
Oh, really?
Re-releasing those movies. Yeah. Really? I don't know, man. That guy is weird. I feel like he's got like two titles that he's just like, I will never let go of these because he's got nothing else to his name.
Really. I would love if they gave the team that does Clone Wars... Clone Wars team the rights to make a film, it would be the most mind-blowing fucking thing on the planet.
Except for the film that came out by the Clone Wars.
Well, that was really the pilot.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good, though, man.
No,
and, like,
it was okay.
All the 2D Clone Wars stuff was good, too. Like, I feel like that whole run of Clone Wars has been pretty awesome. And like,
it just gets better and better.
Yeah. Like
season
it's just,
two is like making me...
Yeah. All right.
Me have wet pants.
That's not the only thing.
Yeah. Wet bottoms.
We're going to take a minute.
All right.
I'm going to go pee.
All right.
Appropriate to say on a podcast.
I'll talk to the audience while you're
urinate,
and then we'll continue recording.
So, next up is a review of something we both did, did on Tuesday. We went to Scott's house. He bought something. It was a surprise. No, it was a Resident Evil deck builder game.
Yes.
And we played.
Yeah, here's the thing. Playing Magic is really expensive. So, the idea was like, hey, let's go see if there are... just, you know, games that are wholly self-contained that you don't have to spend, you know...
Yeah.
Like right.
Every dollar.
No boosters. Like
No boosters.
$4 every 2 days.
No booster boxes, no singles, you know, none of that nonsense. And, like, let's just play a game where the, you know, the playing field is level and everything that we need is in the box. So...
Yeah.
Went down to the store, looked at a couple of games. Eventually, we went with Resident Evil deck building game because it's Resident Evil.
Yeah.
And that seems cool.
Yeah.
And,
I have to be honest, I didn't really know what a deck building game was. And
I
thought I did. And like deck building game, like that's just some fancy nerd term for like a fucking card game, like a CCG, right? And then when I saw it, I was like, what am I looking at? So for those that don't know, the rundown of what a deck building game is all the cards are out on the table. Your goal is to build your deck turn by turn. The way the game was played, each person got a character. I think I got...
I got
Ada Wong, and Scott got...
Was Jill Valentine.
OP Jill Valentine.
Yep.
Mistress of Unlocking.
The original gangsta.
Sweet nectar of her bosom.
I got Claire.
Claire Redfield. And what'd your buddy get?
Yeah, we had a fourth playing. My friend Joe.
Joe.
I think he had...
He had Chris.
He had Chris Redfield.
Chris, so we each had a character. You start out with a deck. The deck grows. You have weapon cards,
Well,
items.
What's crazier is there's a market in front of you.
Yes.
I don't think every game is like that, though, with the market, but...
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, in this... You know, but I think what is common to all the deck building games is the aspect of building the deck, meaning that... Everyone starts out with the same, like, 10 cards, and throughout the progression of the game, you basically make that deck more powerful by trading cards in and getting new ones.
Yeah, so it's like a system of money management, almost, because like, in this game, you had ammo cards that were worth both ammo and gold, and you would essentially trade in these...
Yeah.
You didn't even trade them in. You'd put the ammo cards, like, you'd spend them, which meant they went into your discard pile, then you could, like, pick up new ones, And
you're constantly cycling.
Yes, you're constantly cycling, and then that discard pile just goes like right back into your hand eventually, and then you would just keep playing with it. It was fun. I honestly left feeling like, man, I could totally play that game again. Like, I had a lot of fun playing it.
My question for you, Ash, because I think you're the Resident Evil authority here, how do you think they did in terms of, you know, like capturing, you know, aspects of the game or parts of like different stories or?
I thought the first thing, the character selection, I thought was really cool. They had characters from Resident Evil 1, so they had like Jill and Chris, and then they had Rebecca and Barry, and they're all playable. And then they had Wesker as a playable character. And then they had characters from 2. So they had Leon and they had Claire. And then characters from 3. So they had the Nemesis as a villain you could fight. And 4, they had Krauser.
And the Reaper. And they had...
They had...
And then what about like some of the like the names of the action cards? Like some, you know, like...
Well, here's my problem with the action cards, and this is kind of getting into the gameplay. I really didn't feel like they affected much. Like, I had a couple actions, like, throw out some of your cards. And, like, while that may seem like... I felt like a lot of times I was taking turns to just, like, do something. Like, I'm going to buy another bullet card. I didn't really need to. Like, I had enough bullets to, like, kill a fucking horse.
Yeah.
But it was also my first go, so I didn't really have a strategy. I'm like, you, sir, who had a clear strategy.
I made one up on the fly.
See, that's why.
See, this is what Scott says, but we all believe that Scott played a practice round before any of us ever saw the game.
I didn't look at any of the cards. I didn't read the cards.
I don't know. They were set up pretty neatly when
I read
the
rules. I read the rules, and I sleeve the cards because that's what you do with cards. You sleeve them. And I'm OCD like that, so that was important.
Yeah. I mean, I built a strategy pretty quickly. It's not too hard. I mean, when you get your character and you see... Because your character has levels, essentially, that you can get like different abilities when you look at it.
Yeah.
I think if you look at your character and just look at what those levels provide you, at least in the mode that we played in.
Yes.
If you look at your character, look at what you get as bonuses,
like
and then
perks,
just base everything you do around those bonuses,
absolutely,
you'll destroy. I mean, like, mine give me bonuses to ammo and gold. And as I started playing, I just started stockpiling ammo. I mean, it was ridiculous. I had 4 to 5 ammo cards every hand.
Yeah.
And then the moment I would pull something badass, like, oh, pull a gun out of your discard pile or grab your Gatling gun or something like that, like, I just destroyed whatever was in front of me because I had way too much stuff.
And just to explain to...
I have no idea who that is.
Just to explain to the listeners out there, the idea of the game is... to explore the mansion, which looks, you know, kind of has the feeling of the mansion from the first Resident Evil. And the way that you win the game is by killing monsters and getting points for killing. I think they call me the infected. You kill the infected and you get points, and there's an end state in the game where you kill like the main infected, and then whoever has the most points is the winner. So in doing that, you collect weapons and ammo. You gain abilities that let you draw more cards or throw cards away. And, like, the game implies you build your deck. And then, kind of like the central aspect of earning points is what they call exploring the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, if you've ever played Munchkin, it's like kicking over, you know, opening the door. And which is, I think, taken from D&D. So when you open the door, you're exploring. Hello.
Whoa, what was that?
I don't know.
What a strange sound.
So it's the whole idea of building up enough of your character with enough like gear to be able to go.
I really enjoyed how each one of the characters, there's 2 different milestones that your characters can reach, and it's just like levels, but you unlock 1 ability by killing a certain number of monsters, you unlock a second ability that's more powerful by killing more monsters, and each character card has different milestones to reach, which is pretty cool.
And
for those trying to link URLs on here, I believe if you don't put the HTTP colon...
They work now. I just turned them on.
Okay, cool. And also, to answer the question, I believe Hello Scientist asked, the game is new. It's only a couple weeks
old. Yeah, it came out just like a week ago.
Week? Yeah, it's a week old. Brand new.
I think it's like $20 to $30 depending on... Or $30 to $40 depending on where you buy the game from. But what I think is really cool about it is they built in sort of a lot of replayability into the game.
Yeah.
Because the game itself comes with 10 character cards. Each character plays differently, has a different number of hit points, gets different perks. And then because we got lucky and bought it at a place that still had them, we got 2 bonus character cards. So we have 12 characters that we can play as. Each one has a different strategy. And then they also include additional sets of cards and different card types for different game modes. So we played the what they call the story mode, which is just a straight up deck building, get your guns and kill the enemies in the mansion.
Okay.
But they're also in the manual, they also include rules for team games, a versus mode where you don't even go into the mansion, you just shoot at one another.
Cool.
And then sort of like a mode where you just try to rack up kills.
Which Ash and I talked about on the way home, that like what really felt like lacking out of our game was that, like, once, because you took off, you know,
yeah.
I don't know if we got into that because I had to walk away and do something, but you basically took off and started just blowing everyone out of the water.
With the game,
like,
yeah.
You were running away with the game. And there was really no way for us to stop it other than us trying to run away with the game. Like, there was
yeah.
no way for us to be like, no, Scott's going to get hurt now.
Yeah.
Like, we can't hurt you. We can't help you. We can't help each other. Like, there was nothing we could do to intersect that. And,
right.
like, that's what that mode seemed to lack, which was just like, well, if Ash and I, like, if you started taking off and then I went like, all right, Ash, I'm just going to help you do whatever you need to do to get you
right.
to first place, you know, then that would be a little more challenging, a little more fun.
Yeah, in that mode, there's
or
really...
Or I could attack you and, like, hurt you and try to kill you before you can win the game.
Yeah.
Right, there's no direct interaction in that mode. But like I said, there were two other modes and then other sets of cards that didn't even go into the mode that we played. So there
yeah.
are still, you know, maybe, like, 10 more card types that you can put into the game to make different games. And then you can basically make up house rules to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know, no, I like that. There's definitely a lot of variety. Haley points out that she says she likes the art on the cards. The art is beautiful. It's taken not only from...
She might be talking about Star Wars, but we'll go with Resident
Evil.
Are you talking about Resident Evil, Haley? We don't
know. Or Star Wars. Well, either one. The Resident Evil stuff, a lot of it's
yeah.
taken from game box art and things like that. But there is a lot
Resident
of original
Evil.
Art that is
yeah,
really, really phenomenal.
The art is phenomenal. And like... And I said this to you on the way home, I didn't get as much of a magic feel from the game.
No.
I got the old jihad vampire kind of feel from it.
It felt
very
yeah.
like if
much
we
darker.
If we added in that component of being able to fuck with each other, it would be that game like all over again.
Absolutely.
Because it felt very like I got more of that vibe from like our old middle school days of playing, you know, jihad or vampire
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Than this. And I just think, like, I feel like that game mixed with a little bit of Munchkin would have been dead on. Like, that
yeah.
game would have been perfect.
And I think in those other modes, we do get some of those more Munchkin-style aspects to the game.
Derek wants to know if we've ever played Lunch Money.
So, sounds like something, like, sexual. I don't even ask him what that
I've
is.
I've played this one, Munchkin and Shea Geek, or the three that I
Shea think. Geek?
Yeah, it's by the same guy that
Joe mentioned
Munchkin.
One that he said was a lot of fun.
I think that may be Shea Geek.
Shea Geek,
yeah. And it's similar to Munchkin, but it's a much faster game. Like, it's not as...
Interesting. Munchkin is a blast, you know,
mm-hmm.
except for one of us here loves it.
Sorry.
It's okay.
But, I mean, now we have Resident Evil, so...
There you go.
And there's... I also saw that there was a BSG board game, too, that we might have to try out.
Interesting.
Nerd games abound.
Yeah.
So
anyway, if you guys out there in listening world want to pick up something new and interesting that's game related,
definitely check
it out. It's not too expensive. It can be played with up to four people. It's relatively fast paced.
I don't think it takes a lot of prior experience to jump into this game.
No, we learned it pretty fast. I mean, we learned it pretty fast.
And the other thing I thought was cool was that I feel like the game is ripe for expansion sets. You know, if this game takes off, maybe in 6 months from now, you can release an extra stack of cards with different
yeah.
weapons and abilities.
And
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And we're getting questions about other games, but I think tabletop gaming is definitely something that we want to explore a little bit more because we all play D&D, we all played card games growing up, and I think tabletop's where we lack our knowledge at the moment. But
yeah, but it's
like fun
as
hell.
It's definitely cheaper than having to shell
yeah.
out boatloads of money, you know?
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that's that for the review.
Good deal. Take a break and see you in a minute.
And we are going to talk Spike VGAs.
Sweet.
Yes.
Do you like that voice? We're going to talk Spike VGAs.
Oh my gosh.
Is that your radio voice?
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
You do some radio voice.
Buddy. Welcome to the Zoo Crew. Nerdappropriate.com.
Oh man.
So, all right. Yeah. So Saturday night, Spike is doing their video game awards. It's become kind of the video game awards, pretty much.
Which is strange.
Yeah.
Which is strange because it's
yeah.
odd. I don't know. It's a weird channel to have with
VGAs. I mean, they're hosted by Neil Patrick Harris, who hosted the Oscars.
Which is awesome.
He's
going to be
that.
Awesome, I think.
He's
going to
be good. Yeah, and he plays games too, which is cool.
Or maybe he'll be horrible.
So we are having a get together. We're going to stream from there. A bunch of people are going to be there. We're going to have some fun, eat some food, watch the awards, see what happens. There's a lot of big reveals that night before we get into our picks. Some of the big reveals. There's a big
Mass
thing.
Effect.
A big BioWare question mark. Perhaps Mass Effect 3. We don't really know at this point. There's an Epic Games big Gears of War 3 reveal coming out.
Yeah.
There is a big reveal about Uncharted 3.
I'm going to reveal something in my pants.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot that's going to be shown for the first time there, and it's all going to be live. So everybody's going to be getting the info at the same time. So that night, Saturday night, the internet's going to basically explode with new info about games that are coming out, which is really cool. And we'll be, you know, giving you whatever thoughts on that we have, I guess, which is...
Expert analysis.
Our expert analysis. Appropriately nerdy people.
All right, so what we're going to do right now is go through our picks that we've made on the site. I just posted the link up in the room, although I think everybody's gone there at this point that's in the room.
Yeah.
You know, if you somehow can go into the future and then move back to the past, when you hear this, go to the site, put in your picks. We're going to do a giveaway, like we said. But we are going to each go through our picks and explain our reasoning for each one.
Okay.
All right.
In rapid fire format. Otherwise, this could be a four hour discussion.
No, I need a detailed explanation of each thing as we go through it.
I only wrote like three paragraphs for each pick. I hope that's okay.
We have tons of time off.
Yeah. Very good.
All right. Since we do a 4 hour format show, Scott, you want to go first?
Yeah. Do you have the category and the picks? Because I can only see what I see.
Oh, out of all of them, you mean?
Yeah, I mean,
we can run down
what the...
All right, so do you want to just do one at a time, each pick?
Sure.
All right, let's do it that way. So the first one is Game of the Year. Our options are Call of Duty Black Ops, God of War 3, Halo Reach, Mass Effect 2, and Red Dead Redemption. Scott.
I thought this was a tough one, but from what I understand, the Spike VGAs are largely viewer. It's all viewer picks, right?
It's votes. It's all votes.
So I tried to think like the voters, and I picked Call of Duty Black Ops, thinking that that's what's out now, and maybe a lot of people just won't look past what happened, you know, 10 minutes ago.
Right. Ash?
I agree with Scott in that I think a lot of people are going to pick Black Ops, and... I did not pick Black Ops as my choice because I could not forsake my baby, which is Mass Effect 2. So I'm going.
You picked from the heart.
I picked all my choices from the heart because I can't fucking win anyway.
I did two things. I picked from the heart, and I used some logic.
Uh-oh.
Okay, let's hear it.
My heart pick, of course, Mass Effect 2.
Right.
Logic. If you wanted to go to G4 TV right now and take a look at their Battle of the Games, what's battling right now is Mass Effect 2. And StarCraft, which both fought Call of Duty got beat out, Red Dead got beat out, all of those games got beat out, and the winners right now are Mass Effect 2. And
so you think that nobody forgot about Mass Effect 2 in the past 6 months?
No. Okay, I think that game is holding as strong as it ever has.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, we've got Studio of the Year: BioWare for Mass Effect 2, Blizzard for StarCraft 2, Bungie for Halo Reach. And Rockstar San Diego for Red Dead Redemption. We're going to hear a lot of repeats in these lists.
We are.
You guys, Scott, go ahead.
It's got to be Mass Effect. I mean, it's got to be BioWare.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of what you think of the game. See, I didn't think this one had as much of a time kind of thing attached to it. And you just see the name BioWare and you go, oh, that's the one.
We're getting massive BioWare chants.
I mean, I for my choice for Studio of the Year, I picked BioWare, too. I think... they're kind of paving the way for story-driven gaming, and I think we did a little piece on that on the site as well that you can go and look up. But story-driven gaming, it's a big deal because in the past, story wasn't the driving force behind games. Gameplay was incredibly important, and now you have these amazing interactive stories that are as good as anything that are in a book. So BioWare is definitely the granddaddy of that idea, and so I have to take my pants off for them.
I agree, but I had to go a different way.
Okay. Wow. Okay, let's hear it.
Bungie's swan song with Halo Reach. I had to go with Bungie on this one. I just think that...
Maybe a little nostalgia there?
It's just... I think we're looking at a game that's going to be the last one for them. It's the last one of their title. It's one of the probably largest franchises of all time. And I just feel like they're going to get some votes for being their swan song game. And I feel like Mass Effect is all over this category, or all over all the other categories, period.
Yeah.
And I feel like Bungie's going to get a couple in there on this. Halo was gigantic. Reach was humongous.
Yeah. It's sold well enough for me to buy a copy.
Yeah.
I can see that. I mean, do I think they were the best studio of the year? No.
Well, but you hate Halo, so it really doesn't matter.
But you also have to vote like the voters do. Like, I mean...
True. No, I see your logic.
Because we're trying to predict. We're not...
All right.
Yeah.
Number three, best Xbox 360 game. We've got Alan Wake, Fable 3, Halo Reach, and Mass Effect 2.
As much as I wanted to pick Alan Wake, I had to pick Mass Effect 2.
I went for Mass Effect 2 as well, just because I'm in love with it.
Mass Effect 2. I mean, I can't vote against it in a best game
category. Yeah, yeah. It was mind blowing, and we've talked about it in every episode.
Yeah.
And it's the number one on our site for most visited and talked about items. So we are big fans of the game, and we are eagerly anticipating whatever the hell they're going to show us at the award show.
All right, number four, which I'm shocked that Ash even included this in our list of games we were going to talk about.
I did it for you guys. I really did.
Best sports game. We got FIFA, Madden, NBA, and MLB 10, The Show.
I think what I did here was I just said, okay, there's two EA sports titles in this list.
Yeah.
And two non-EA sports titles.
Right.
Yeah.
So... with a lot of people's love-hate relationship of EA Sports, I went with NBA 2K11.
Which I don't think is a bad bet.
Yeah.
Really? I went with Madden just because I think it sold the most. And
it's
in the U.S. it did, not internationally, but in the U.S. it sold the most, and I think it's a safe bet.
What did internationally? FIFA?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the football, you know? Because of the football.
I just feel like Madden is that rhinoceros in that group. Like, it's just hard to fight a game of that caliber and title. Like, that game just gets better every year, but it also grows somehow an audience every year. Like, it's almost ridiculous.
Yep.
All right, number cinco. Best shooter.
Best shooter.
We got Battlefield, Bad Company 2. We have BioShock 2, which is a weird one to throw in this title.
Yep.
We've got COD Blops, and we've got Halo Reach.
I had to go with COD Blops pretty much for the same reason of it's fresh in people's minds. And
yeah. I put Bad Company 2 even though I know it's not going
to
win.
I would have liked to have put Bad Company as well.
I really thought with the Frostbite engine that it was the most innovative shooter that we've really had in a while. I think they took a lot of the really good ideas from the Call of Duty franchise, made a lot of it better. I think as a multiplayer experience with your friends... there was nothing better with a full group of buddies than Bad Company 2.
You've got Micah and Derek agreeing with you, and Haley chanting COD, 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 COD.
Whoa.
I went with my baby, Halo Reach.
Really?
I know they're not going to win. I'm fully aware that COD Blops is going to beat them.
That's what you got
to
do.
But I just had to go with Halo. I still feel like they're going to get votes just for it being... the final Halo. Like,
you could pick that game and not be wrong still.
I know. I feel like that game sold a ton. I feel like it's their last Halo. People know it. It's going to get some votes just based on those facts.
You have to imagine there are some people out there that you look at their
game
shelf.
That multiplayer is still destroying. That multiplayer is still one of the most played multiplayers in the Xbox.
I'm sure there are game shelves out there that are just Halo, Halo 2, Halo 3, so on. And that's it. Five games,
All right, number six, best action-adventure game. We've got Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, God of War 3, Red Dead Redemption, and Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Ooh.
Did you not read that last one and now you're second guessing?
I didn't know about Super Mario Galaxy 2. Because, I mean, say what you want about how easy those games might be. The real last level of that game was the shit.
Yeah.
That was for serious. But I picked Red Dead Redemption just because of, you know, the craziness.
I went with, for Best Action Adventure, I went for Red Dead Redemption as well. There was a real struggle for me to pick that between that and Brotherhood, but mm-hmm. I remember some parts in Redemption. I was emotionally moved, and yeah. I was angry, and I was excited, and there were parts where like the hair on my arm stood up, and I know that's super nerdy, but I definitely didn't get that with Brotherhood.
Nope. Yeah.
Brotherhood was good. I had a lot of fun. I played the living shit out of it, but Red Dead Redemption, I really felt was just, you know, we're going to look back in 5 years and be like, remember the year that Red Dead and Mass Effect came out? And like, it's going to be a big year to remember. You know?
That's a good argument. If Red Dead did not have Mexico, it would be my game of the year contender.
Sure.
It would be my... It would probably have blown out almost every other game for every other category, because I loved Red Dead and I hated Mexico. Like, with a passion, hated Mexico.
But you liked getting to Mexico for the first time.
Yeah, well, sure. 5 minutes of awesomeness when I get to Mexico, and then 5, 7, 10 hours of mind-numbing horribleness.
Did everyone in our audience play Red Dead?
Yeah, everybody's voting. I'm going to shoot in there. But I went with Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Really?
I did not play Mario, and I did not play God of War 3, and I have a feeling those two honestly probably have a better shot. Well, God of War 3, I think, has probably a really good shot.
You think so?
Yeah, that game sold fucking a lot of copies. And when you talk about action-adventure, I don't really look at Red Dead as action-adventure.
Yeah.
Sure.
There needs to be an open-world category.
Yeah, it really didn't really get in there. There was a lot of votes for Red Dead. Haley voted Super Mario, and Derek wants Assassin's Creed, but says God of War 3 might win.
Haley, did you see that last level in Mario Galaxy?
It's going to be like 5 seconds.
Oh, the real ones? Like the actual last one?
My favorite part of Red Dead was surprise cougar death.
Yeah, I mean, Red Dead just... I don't know. I did vote for Red Dead at one point, but not in that category. Yeah. That category didn't feel right for me for Red Dead. I think it's a great story game, but it doesn't beat Mass Effect, you know? Like it's just a weird category to throw that one in.
No, I agree.
So number 7, best RPG, Fable 3, Fallout New Vegas, Final Fantasy 13, which Ash put Psy, and Mass Effect 2.
First of all, are we all unanimous in
Mass Effect 2?
I think we're all unanimous in Mass Effect. Okay. And the reason I put Psy for Final Fantasy is because that was just like, you take this scrambled, fucked up, horrid story, shake it around in a plastic bag, and like, release it, and it was...
Which game? Sorry.
Final Fantasy. It was awful. Like, I was so horribly disappointed with
that
game.
Was that the one where the game didn't actually start until about 20 hours in?
I was 15 hours in before I even, like, got through the tutorial.
Haley wrote in all caps, yes, so good.
Yes. Mario. Nicely done.
Oh, Mario? Okay.
This is Mass Effect across the board.
Okay, good.
Yeah, can you really go against Mass Effect? I mean, like, sure, Fallout, whatever, not gonna beat Mass Effect. Fable 3, you know, I'm sorry. It's just not there. Final Fantasy, you know, had its day many moons ago.
Yeah, we've moved on, I think, in this country to, you know, American RPGs from Japanese ones.
Best original score. We've got God of War 3, Halo Reach, Mass Effect 2, Red Dead Redemption.
I think I picked Red Dead Redemption just because of the journey into Mexico.
I did the same thing. I went with Red Dead because I thought not only were the original songs that were written for the game really, really great, I thought just the whole Western, like, the vibe to it was just phenomenal. And, you know, I would love to just pick Mass Effect for everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I own both the Red Dead album and the Mass Effect album, and they're both great. But I thought the Red Dead album kind of stood out a little bit more.
I just really love the drums in Halo Reach. No. You're such awkward new metal in that game. No, I went with Red Dead. The soundtrack to Red Dead was just phenomenal. I love Mass Effect soundtrack, but as far as setting atmosphere and making the game like a cohesive piece, Red Dead's fucking soundtrack was just mind-blowing. Like, I mean, there were parts where it was dead silent and you're listening to, like, sounds, and then, like, a guitar would just be like, and I was like, what is that? Like, it just all the way through sounded awesome and was awesome.
And I don't know if you guys listened to the post that I posted about Undead Nightmare with the soundtrack.
Read or listened to?
Read the article and then listened to the audio from Undead Nightmare. But there are some amazing... They went with, like, a really weird sci-fi 1970s surf vibe.
Yeah.
And it is awesome. There's, like, surf songs about zombies. Fucking good.
I will say that for all the things I dislike about Rockstar, they put together phenomenal soundtracks for every game they do.
Oh,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
They just nail it every time. Like, the 80s, the Vice City was so on for that time period of game, and, like, I don't know, they nailed the soundtracks.
I'd like to put in some honorable mentions for this category that I don't think made the list.
Well, we just said the list, so if they're not on the
okay. I would say Alan...
Ash didn't selectively choose.
Yeah, I would say Alan Wake had a good soundtrack in between the
episodes.
Why
don't you get your dick out of Alan Wake's ass?
That game is fucking awesome. And then Heavy Rain, too, because...
Did it?
You know, they, like, it's, that game is more interactive drama than anything, like, interactive fiction. And they,
I'm actually surprised that it didn't get hit up for more categories.
Nate, like, that music, they just laid on you at the right time, and it just kind of, like, tugs at, it's really good.
If they ever bring the price down of that damn game, I'll buy it, because I heard it's, like, 8 hours long, and then...
It is phenomenal. All
right, number 9, best adapted video game. Lego Harry Potter, years 1 through 4. Scott Pilgrim, The Game. Spider-Man, Shattered Dimensions. Star Wars, The Force Unleashed 2. Even More Unleashed, as Ash subtitled it. And Transformers, War for Cybertron. I like that they all have colons in their names.
Yes.
You really have to, because it's the adaptation.
Yeah, yeah. So what everybody vote for here?
Having only played 2 of these games and knowing that one of them was not that great, I picked Transformers.
Which one was not that great?
Force Unleashed 2.
Oh, yeah.
It's too short and not so great. But I picked Transformers, War for Cybertron just because of all of the callbacks to the 80s. Like, movie and original series.
Yeah. I went for Transformers also. I probably made a couple people in this room buy the Transformers game. I was like, you guys gotta buy it. And I don't know if they loved it, but I was a big fan of it. I thought the gameplay was, I don't want to say great, but it was really solid. It was really
solid. Sorry, Micah just said this category could also be called Worst Game
of the Year. Worst Game of the Year. It's pretty fun. We need to, like, hire him and, like, dress him in, like, a gimp costume and just bring him out in front of the camera and he can just say his one-liners.
That just got weird. Okay.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So, I like Transformers
a
lot.
And
the multiplayer was
actually
really
worth
good.
Playing.
It really was. It was good.
I went Transformers 2. I actually played the least because I only did, like, the demo and something else.
Yeah.
But I had a blast playing that. The thing that came very close for me is I actually enjoyed Scott Pilgrim a lot, too. And I thought they nailed the tone on Scott Pilgrim.
Really? Was
that
the Xbox Live
title?
Yeah,
the 8-bit Xbox Live title.
And that was,
like,
good?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was fun as hell.
It was hard.
Like, hard. But nailed the feeling of that kind of genre.
Yeah,
but I don't think an Xbox Live game is going to beat out Transformers War for Cybertron.
I thought the sleeper in this category might actually be the Lego Harry Potter.
You never know. I mean, the Lego games are always fun, but I didn't play this one, so I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, and the last category, most anticipated game, we've got Batman Arkham Asylum, Bioshock Infinite, Gears of War 3, and Portal 2. I will say, before you start, this was the hardest one for me to choose.
I think so.
So
why
go ahead.
I put it last.
For me, this was, like I said, thinking about how people would vote, this was a toss-up between Gears of War and Batman.
Yeah.
Because I thought Batman, what was the other, there was Portal and what else?
Portal and...
Oh, sorry.
Portal and Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, see, I mean, the Bioshock Infinite trailer looks, you know, interesting and seems kind of amazing, but I think just Gears of War 3, because it's kind of got, like, kind of built up that following, like Halo has that kind of following, you know?
Yeah. I'm the Gears head here. I went with Gears. I'm so fucking excited for Gears. I'm probably going to take like 3 days off work when that game comes out, and I'm going to play it so much that I bleed all over the place.
I put, and this broke my heart, I put Gears.
Oh,
what did
yes!
What did you want to put?
I mean, for me?
Yeah.
It's hard, man. I would say Batman probably, number one for me, which I think is probably, I'm with you, I think those are the two top ones.
Yeah.
Although Portal has... Valve has that weird following, man, that, like, Valve games are huge, and I wouldn't... I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if any of these really won, but, like, I just... Gears, you know, you can't beat it. It's like that game is just humongous, and they know it, and that game is going to sell gangbusters, and everyone's going to be waiting for it, and maybe I don't like it, but I know people are going to vote for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it has the... I don't think Batman has the following to beat Gears.
It's just no. That Batman was such a solid... Like,
sure,
from
but
start
it's,
to finish, a solid
but
title.
It's not going to be... The build-up to Batman's not going to be the build-up to Gears. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the only one that I think might sneak out a weird surprise victory would be Valve's Portal, just because I think Valve just has that following.
They just have their minions go to the website.
It's like Valve and Blizzard, you know? Like, Valve and Blizzard can just do whatever, and people are like, aah! And like, yeah.
Did you see Peter Molyneux's son make
personal appeal? Yeah, Valve, please make Half-Life 3.
Where is Half-Life 3? I can't wait. Yeah.
You know, so I think definitely it's going to be Gears, but we will see, I guess.
Well, we'll definitely see.
We'll all be shamed by the end of this. What I liked about this is we all definitely... We had our varied choices. We weren't unified.
Definitely
all
a lot of Mass Effect 2, but that's
Mass Effect 2
is in the
Mass Effect 3 will come out and it'll be all Mass Effect 3 when it comes out. I mean that game will destroy
my life.
I will take off time when Mass Effect 3 comes out.
Oh god!
If that doesn't destroy your life, then I think the whole
I'm going to dress.
Oh, and those are coming out the same year.
Those can't come out at the same time. I hope.
What?
Which one?
Star Wars, Old Republic, and Mass Effect.
Mass Effect should be much later. Much later.
Or whatever's going to be revealed on Saturday. Whatever.
Guarantee yourself that, sir.
Mass Effect Brotherhood or whatever comes out.
They're both 2012.
Well, they don't know. I think...
Star Wars said 2011, but it's going to get pushed.
You think?
Yeah. Okay, it's not going to make
it. It's too much game.
I think quarter two 2012 is going
to
be...
They're not going to release Old Republic until Old Republic is like... completely baked and ready to go and nothing's wrong with it and it's completely good. They will not put out a broken product by any means.
That's true. Very true.
So, alright.
Alright, so for those that are watching, the handful that are here, hopefully we see you guys on Saturday night. And for those that are listening, the VGAs have already happened and hopefully you watch them and you now know all the secrets that have been revealed.
Embarrassing story time!
Alright, so here's my embarrassing story. So I'm...
this should be a bonus track.
This is a bonus track. So I'm sitting there and it's 7th period and it's, I want to say, Tuesday. And my student assistant's like, oh, I was just at 7-Eleven and there's all these nerds at 7-Eleven and they're talking about this game that I don't know anything about. And I'm like, well, what game were these nerds talking about? She's like, World of something, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, World of Warcraft, I know all about it. And she's like, yeah. She's like, and then a couple of them bought it from 7-Eleven. They had it for sale, and I was like,
what?
And I started kind of sweating, and I was like, oh no. And I was like, they sell it at 7-Eleven? and I'm like, that game's stupid. I'm glad you left that dirty 7-Eleven, and you got away from that game. And so I'm driving home, and I'm like, kind of get the shakes a little bit. And I'm starting to sweat, and I'm like, oh man, I stop at 7-Eleven every day on the way home, and I get something to drink, and maybe get a Slim Jim. And so I'm at 7-Eleven, and I go to 7-Eleven in Park Ave, and I talk to the guy all the time, and he's like, kind of like, hey, you know, check this out on the counter. And I'm sitting there with my drink and my Slim Jim, and I'm just kind of looking at it, and I pick the box up, and it has this nice, like, Velcro, like, trifold.
Yeah.
And I open the Velcro, it's like, and I open it, and I'm like, holy crap. And I'm like, I look at the graphics, and I'm like, look at that Wolfman, look at that Worgen in that.
Three-panel box art. Are you kidding me?
And I'm like, I know, and I'm like, look at that Goblin, and I'm like, I just kind of put it down next to my drink, and I'm like, just
oh my god.
Oh, just bring it up.
Are you serious?
I won't tell anybody. So I fucking take it home.
Oh no.
I put it in and I played it.
Oh!
And I fucking played
it. Did you not say, like, just
I
last
said
week?
The other day I wouldn't do it. But it was at 7-Eleven.
Unbelievable.
And it was horrible. And then Amy, who was on the other day, she sends me a Twitter. She's like, I played the opening of the Worgen and it's awesome. And I'm like, trying to get work done for work. And I'm like, sitting there, and I'm kind of like shaking and sweating. And I'm like, I'll just play the first 8 levels. Just play the first 8 levels. So I play the Worgen opening, and I play the Goblin opening, and they're actually really good. But Will I continue playing? Absolutely not.
Right.
There's no way.
Yeah, right.
There's no way.
You're going to keep playing.
No.
You're done.
No.
You're done. We're going to be next week. We're going to be like, all right, podcast at 7. And Scott will be like, yeah. I'm like, hey, Ash, podcast at 7. You'll be like,
can I bring my laptop?
Can I bring my laptop or can I call? Like one of those two? Can you just put me on speaker? Would that be cool?
Oh, it's horrible.
I think what makes this funny is that for anybody else, this would have been a story about K2. But for you, it was a story about World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
That's really what made
K2.
It like that fake weed that you got. You know, it's like if you
was like K2.
If
what
you replace that,
about?
Like if you replace every instance of World of Warcraft with pot,
yeah.
It would have been the same story.
So it was dark. The worst was like I was sitting there playing and
worst is he had no pants on and Chrissy walked in.
Well,
like,
no, no, Chrissy,
stop what you think.
Chrissy called on her way back from work and she's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm not doing anything." And she's like, "Why do you sound weird?" I'm like, I'm not doing anything. And she's like, "No, really, what are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm playing a game." She's like, "What game? What are you playing?" I'm like, "World of Warcraft." She's like, "What did you say?" I'm like, "World of Warcraft." She goes, "I want to play."
Oh, no.
So that's why I have to get the other gaming PC now.
Done.
She wants to play again.
That's why you're buying a second gaming PC?
Yeah.
So you are going to keep playing.
I want. I'm getting the second gaming PC for Old Republic.
Yeah, right.
But in the meantime,
Old Republic's not coming out until question mark.
That's
so
gonna be
you're
the only thing that will
that.
That will take you away from World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
it's gonna be the only thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry. I disappointed myself.
You literally just like you're in your AA group right now.
Yeah. I lost the game.
Your WoW A group.
You're starting. You have to start.
I don't. Here's it. I know I'm not back in its clutches fully because back when I used to
today.
Play all the time.
I mean, you've had it for 4 hours.
Yeah. And you're here.
Yeah. No, that's the first thing. And I went to work and I did my job and I didn't get fired. I actually got promoted, which is good. But I didn't dream about it. I used to dream about it every night when I played, which was fucked up. It was really bad. I would dream.
Like
I would dream about like the bank, like.
Is that with the bank here? Is that what that?
No, was? He's talking about like in Ultima Online.
Oh,
you
yeah,
could
yeah.
Actually, you have to type the word bank to open the bank because that's how fucking technologically advanced.
You
that
only
shit
have
was.
A problem if you check your harvesters at Comic-Con.
Oh yeah, you ever hear that story?
No.
All right, the quick version. Micah,
flow with it, brother.
Micah and a bunch of us, Seth and Cohen, and a bunch of us went to Comic-Con. It was Micah's, first of all, like I think his second time on a plane in his life.
Right.
His first time he'd ever seen a mountain.
We're happy he's grown up. So.
Yes, and he was like basically like a cave child that was finally unleashed. So we had all started playing Star Wars Galaxies. We're all insanely addicted to the point where like we just like on the plane ride we're just like rocking back and forth and the game was fucking horrible, so I don't know how we were that addicted, but he was I think the same as you, a droid engineer.
Oh yeah.
And he also had like a lot of harvesting and stuff like that.
Here's
was,
a
like,
pro tip, you can't solo that.
No.
And I tried to.
Yeah.
You
well,
needed us.
Well, the funniest thing about the droid engineer is the droids didn't work. They were empty husks.
You couldn't even build a droid with, like, a weapon on it. I was level 90 and I still couldn't do that.
Yeah, he was, like, it was basically being a mannequin engineer.
It was
like,
impossible.
Yeah, you built us. So we went to Comic-Con and it was when LucasArts had a booth there and you could go talk to the devs and stuff like that. And so we were talking to the devs. And Micah would log in, like, with the devs over his shoulder and check his harvesters and shit. And then, like, scurry away back into the crowd at Comic-Con. So he was, like, actually logging into his account. And he did it the whole weekend. We would be, like, at a panel. They're
beautiful droids.
We would be at a panel and shit. We're like, where's Micah? And, like, we go there and he's, like, sweaty with, like, no shoes on, checking his harvesters. Like, oh, it's fucking horrible.
Oh, it's awesome. Full. I need to put more credits in.
Yeah.
That's exactly
what I did. Good times.
Well,
so that was my horrible news. I'm sorry, guys.
We've wasted another 2 hours. So.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for watching again. We seriously love doing the live stream, so we're glad that our friends join in and get to talk to us.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you for listening and watching.
Thanks for listening. And if you've already watched the VGAs, you can hop online and make fun of us for how stupid we are.
Also, log into iTunes and rate us a few times because it'll definitely help get the word out. And for every 10 viewers that we get ass massages.
And did we propagate to Zoom?
Wait a second. I have not gotten a single ass massage yet.
He gives them, so.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, I've gotten those, but those are for different reasons.
You're going to save up those coupons.
I don't know about Zoom, man. Just fucking check. I have no idea.
Oh, okay. I do check.
All right, we are rated NA.
We've tried. I've listed it a couple times.
It has been glorious. We will see you guys next week.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. See you next week.
NerdBurberry.com.